لو
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
Doing all right.
Okay, so I'm pasting the link to today's agenda on the chat. If you want to propose any other topic, please do it. Okay, let's wait a bit more. More people to join.
Hey everyone.
Hello. Okay. Wait a pair more minutes. Okay, so yeah, let's start. I'll take a look to see if more people are going to be joining. So I pasted in the chat the link to the agenda. And mostly, well, last week we didn't have meetings because I was on training and also people on PTO as well. Okay, so I put some documentation, some actions from previous weeks. First one should be like a status of MVP documentation. I don't see updates there. I also don't see Miko at the meeting. He told me he would be taking a look at it, but I'm not seeing him today. So if any other of you want to give some feedback on this MVP or start asking some questions on how to start contributing, please let me know. Okay.
Hi, this is Manjari from Wipro.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Manjari.
Hi. Hi, Frank. We had met before. So, yeah, I think we are kind of, we had spoken earlier, and we are interested in this blueprint and interested in joining. So if we can get a good idea of where we are, and is this a point where people can start joining, like downloading the code and start playing with it?
Well, for the moment, we're still collecting information on what should be like the final MVP, like the different blueprints that we want to propose with the different specs and features. So first of all, there is this document that I created to start defining what we want to achieve on this blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to take a look at the architecture and that and contribute, like we are seeking for each use cases. So, I mean, you can describe your use case for the edge, what you are interested on this project to be. Please, that would be a good feedback. We are willing to just create two different types of blueprints. So we are having like the industrial edge blueprint and the telco as well. So with one more focus on machine learning and capturing information for industry and other more focused on telco for the edge as well. So yeah, this we're collecting this kind of use cases so we can reflect it on our blueprints.
So the provider is the telco one and industrial is for the industrial, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So if you want, there are two parts of it, right? So the first one is like, you can already download the code and see the documentation for the base blueprint, right? So if you say, take me from a declarative configuration to a running cluster on libvirt or AWS. Mm-hmm. So based on this blueprint, that's Yolanda already integrated that into the CI. There's still some like bug in the CI that she needs to handle with the Linux Foundation regarding the secret handling. But that stuff works. So now the next thing we need to address on the cluster level, if you want, is deployment into the validation lab. And that's a discussion we've started with the validation lab team. You know, this University of New Hampshire is hosting the donated hardware resources in the validation lab. Mm-hmm. And maybe then later during this call, we can go through the information that we've sent them in order to get the hardware set up according to the needs of the blueprints. But the second level then is once you've deployed like different footprints of clusters on different platforms, is what kind of workloads do you include into the blueprint? And that's where basically we still need to agree on what kind of workloads or services we want to include into the blueprint. And this is where we're hoping basically to get also your feedback, right? The thought process was that we have these two blueprints where the one, the provider access edge blueprint is, let's say the industrial edge blueprint is optimized more for if you want for cost and small footprint, and then running IoT and machine learning type of workloads on them. Whereas the provider access edge blueprint should be optimized for running, let's say, a virtualized RAN and or mobile edge computing type of workloads on top. So, and of course, there are certain technical consequences of that. So for example, for the NFV use case, we would more looking into supporting motors with SIOV in the platform and then being able to deploy VNFs on top, right? So that's kind of the principal difference. But as Yolanda said, we really need to nail down what kind of workloads we think are necessary or should be inside the industrial and provider access edge blueprint.
Yeah, but I was just let me know if you don't agree. So even if like if you look into an industrial 5G deployment use case, right? In that case, it does have to run the RAN, but it also has to run the analytics, right? In that case, it kind of becomes a superset of both of them because it has to run both the workloads. Because you are doing the edge computing, but you also have to take care of the radio that's deployed locally.
But here you're assuming that an industrial edge would run, let's say, a 5G or a telco-like radio instead of local networking or Wi-Fi Zigbee kind of protocols. And, yes. And I know that there are industries that plan on doing that, but there are also other industry edge where they're more looking into process automation, optimization and process control kind of things where there's no wireless or at least no telco wireless in the loop. Right. Okay. This is why, you know, you're right. There are many, many different edge use cases. And so the question is, can we even agree on buckets of blueprints that make sense in here and there, even on the provider access edge? I mean, there are so many different architectures. Mm-hmm. And so we rather see the initial blueprints as, I wouldn't say, let's say, technology showcase, but basically as a basis on which customers can then kind of tune and like pick the pieces they want or like. And if they want to do an industrial edge blueprint with 5G radio, why not merge the two, right? Because you already see how this works. And then you basically, you know, create mix.
But when you merge them, it seems like you're using a different networking technologies for both of them, right? One, in one case, you're using tungsten. One case, you're using OVN.
Yeah. And the reason for that is that the OVN one blueprint, again, the implicit assumption, and again, I mean, we are open to rediscussing that, but the idea behind putting it there was that in an industrial context, you often either have very simple networking or networking that's already, if you want, long time established, right? So all we wanted to is a very simple overlay network, right? Mm-hmm. Just a simple cluster, single cluster network as an overlay over existing network. And OVN is a very good solution for that. And mm-hmm. then the idea was with Tungsten, Juniper said, look, for provider access edge use cases, you may want to have multi-network capabilities. You need to support SRIOV. You need to support this and this and this. So maybe a solution that also takes control over the hardware of the top of rack switches would be better suited.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this was the original motivation. However, talking to Shukdev, he was out of service for many weeks, unfortunately. And when he came back, he said, you know, he initially wants to, like, his priority is to do this add on to the network cloud blueprint. And as soon as he's done with that, he wanted to help with the provider access edge blueprint. But he's not been very interactive now recently. So you could even assume that we can initially use OVN or similar for both blueprints.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that is that's been the one of the main difference, right? The networking.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about footprints. It's about mm-hmm. like the networking that you put below. It's about the workloads you optimize for. So for example, if you, for the provider access edge blueprint, the idea was, can we run, for example, so the original idea was, can we run open interface on top of that based on a real-time compute host,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is something we can do. And then Redis has said, hey, we would like to run our Mac platform, and for that we need virtual machine support. And so we said, well, why don't we use KubeVirt to run virtual machines on top of the cluster with multi-network support? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah.
So we could have gone for Kata containers instead of KubeVirt, or we selected KubeVirt because it was...
So Kata container solves a different use case, right? Kata container solves the use case of, I want to run containers, but I want to mix workloads from multiple tenants on the same host. So therefore I need a virtualization layer below my containers. Okay. Whereas the KubeVirt use case is, I want to run virtual machine workloads. So for example, there's another use case that I find super interesting that's been proposed in Acrano, which is mobile gaming. And most games are on Windows machines. And so there's no problem, for example, to run a Windows machine inside KubeVirt.
Okay. So
this is the difference, I think, between the two.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So thanks for the feedback. I mean, we have this document and we are trying to collect as most use cases as you can propose, give us feedback, and then we can arrive to a common agreement on it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is still defined. We have created the basic blueprint, but without implementing the SDN, the workflows, that's still in progress, so we're able to collect feedback and be very flexible on that. Okay. So, well, next point of the agenda is that, I mean, from previous weeks, we had to send some CI document in order to request for environmental resources to run the CI inside Acreino. So they asked us to just create a slideshow based on a template asking for the environmental resources, their needs, the workloads. And so I pasted the link on the agenda. And if you want, I can just go present it with quick and show what we requested to see if you agreed on it. It's okay? Okay. Let me share. Okay. Frank, can you share? Because it's Zoom is, you shouldn't be. Now, it seems that sharing is only, Zoom only allows sharing for Ubuntu 17, Fedora 25, and 26, and 27. And as I'm 29, I cannot share. So I guess, yeah, you cannot as well. So I can paste the link on the document. Can you also see this document? Let me paste that on the chat again. So I pasted in the chat. I tried to explain that a bit because I cannot do the screen sharing. So, okay. So what we tried to ask is that, well, we have different workloads. We may have also different type of stages. No, we have the regional controller, that is where we are going to just launch the initial blueprints, do validation, and that. Then we have the staging cluster that we are going to just test per blueprint. We are going to need like deploy with a more extended footprint. Like for development, it's going to be just one master and one worker. For staging, we can deploy still on VMs, but have three masters and three workers. Oh, nice. You don't have Fedora 29? How can you share?
I do, but I don't know how to configure it.
I cannot. Nice.
Okay, can you see it? Okay, let's.
You need to explain me how to share then.
No, the truth is I'm not on my work notebook, but on my private MacBook. So.
Ah, okay, nice. So yeah, I was trying to explain a slide too. So. You can pass to the next slide.
Yes.
Yeah, I could share in the past, but I upgraded my Fedora, so it seems I cannot share anymore. So yeah, I was trying to explain that slide that we are going to have the regional controller that is going to be a small footprint, like one master and one worker, and also a Bootstrap VM. Then we're going to pass to staging, and we can increase it, but still with virtual machines, like have three masters and three workers, to try to resemble the same footprint that we are going to have in the edge sites, but in the staging is going to be virtual and in the edge is going to be just physical. So for the physical testing on the edge site, we are going to request like three masters, three workers, and also we are going to have a Bootstrap VM. So that makes a total of six servers in that case. We'll have one server that is going to be, or seven servers. One server that is going to act as a jump host and build host, so we can create the Bootstrap VM to deploy our blueprints there, and then we are going to do it physically. And the maximum blueprint we look at for is three masters for HA and three workers as well. So that's why we requested seven servers to the CI. Okay. So next slide. Okay, so yeah, that's they asked us to do an overview, describe the pods that we are going to need. So yeah, we had explained we have two different use cases. First, for like testing development, we are going to go with virtual. So just one bare metal host will make it. So we asked for one bare metal host, having been provisioned with CentOS 7 and Libvirt, and then we can start like deploying, like creating VMs on top of it, running the cluster, destroying. So it's going just to be one server for all this procedure. But then when we go to the blueprint validation on the edge, we're asking for more servers like this. So it's going to be a total of six, three for masters, three for workers, but an extra one that can as a bare metal host with CentOS and Libvirt, that doesn't need to have like the same capabilities as the real servers. It can be a nuke or it can be a different server if not needed. We're going to request for seven and let's see what we get. Of course, when deploying to bare metal, we are going to make some changes in the network. So we need to have a special network configuration like VLANs or do some DNS changes as well to make our cluster deployment work. So we asked for that. I mean, we need to have access to configure the network somehow or to request to be configured. I mean, we need to define the cabling, the VLAN definition, the DHCP, these kind of things. So we need to be sure that we can do it. Otherwise, the deployment is not going to work. So I guess we could have a yes here. Okay, in terms of hardware requirements, we need to test first on virtual machines. It needs to be a bit beefy server because it needs like at least like, well, depends between between three and six VMs. So we need 64 gigabytes of RAM, some disk to store all the images as well. So yeah, at least we expect that for development we get this server with a minimum of 64 gigabytes of RAM. And then for the blueprint validation, we ask it a bit more. So the one that is going to be acting as a provisioning host can be lower, like can be a nuke with 32 gigabytes of RAM, some disk. And for the bare metal machines, we ask it a bit more because they need to be beefier, like having more RAM, more disk. We would likely need a second disk for Ceph as well if we want to deploy. An important requirement for us is to have two NICs in the servers because we need one for Pixie booting and another one for the bare metal network. That's one hard requirement for us at the moment to deploy on bare metal. And also, we need to have VMC, IPMI support to just do the auto-provision, to power on the servers, power off, control the boot order. This is needed as well. So we requested servers that are capable of doing that. Okay, next one. So in terms of the logical connectivity, we showed this diagram. So basically, we need this double NIC to isolate the provisioning and the network, the external network. In the jam host, it's not really needed. We can go with one NIC only. So if we have a NUC, it's going to be okay because we could go with one NIC only and using VLANs. But yeah, for the physical servers, the masters and workers, we are going to have required these two NICs. But I guess that's going to be okay. That the servers that they are going to provide are going to have it. Okay. Next one. Okay, they asked also a bit about our CI and CD business logic, the kind of testing that we want to do. So I put my approach there. I mean, if you have some more feedback of the things that we need to test, please let us know, let me know. So I try to do like a common CI procedure, like check. It means it's multi-site testing with pipelines. So we have check that is happening every time that someone sends a change into the installer or a change into the blueprint templates. Every time that everyone is sending that, there is going to be a set of basic testing going on, like do like linting, syntax as the installer is written in Go, like do some Go syntax check and like do a small deploy to verify that everything works okay. And then when a change is going to be merged, that's called gate. And we are likely going to be running the same test as check, but then we can have like extra testing. Like we can like run libvirt on Amazon as well, depending on the blueprint that we are trying to deploy, but also we can add like a bare metal testing on it before any change is really going to land into our code base. We want to be sure that it's working on physical servers as well. And also we can have like the next testing stage if we want to put stable versions on our project, like we can create tags. We can run, apart from doing deployments, we should run like functional testing. Like if we are running Kubernetes, that's our cases, we should run like the validation test suite for Kubernetes that they're implementing in Acrino, plus some extra checks, you know, depending on our blueprints. Like if we are deploying Kubebirt, we should like run a functional test on if I can deploy VMs on Kubebirt or things like that, depending on our workflow. So, I mean, that's still open. We should define like the different types of functional testing depending on our blueprint definition. Okay. So next one, or if you have questions, okay. Okay, so they asked also to explain a bit the communication flow in for our blueprint, like the network. I mean, for regional controllers, it's going to be all virtualized, all the communication is internally. For the bare metal, it's a bit different because, yeah, I mean, we need to have communication with IPMI. So the first thing when we start provisioning machines is power them on. So we need to have communication on this IPMI network. We are also to need communication for the DHCP and Pixie for all the servers to start provisioning them and burn the images on them. So Pixie boot and DHCP as well. And then once the images are provisioned on the servers, they are going to be, we are going to start like the traditional deploy, like start copying packages, running all the install process. So I try to describe a bit here. First, our procedure, the way it works is that we have a Bootstrap VM that's created first. Then this Bootstrap VM is in charge of the deploying like the masters. It powers them on, gives DHCP and Pixie boot, and those masters start running all the workloads to just be part of the Kubernetes cluster. Once the masters are up, then the Bootstrap VM can be deleted. And after that, the workers are added. So there is this kind of communication between all the machines that we try to describe here. Okay. Okay, they asked for dependencies. I mean, the only dependencies that we can think of is Jenkins that we are currently using now. Also, as we are using OpenShift as an installer, like we could rely on OpenShift external OpenShift tooling as well. Like we can use the OpenShift build config or some other tools to just manage the deployment of the cluster. I try to express it here. At the moment, it's not done, but it can be like an external dependency. Also for Linux Foundation dependencies, maybe Nexus as well, if we need to publish some artifacts, but at the moment we are not using that, and I could not think really on any other dependency. So if you can think on something, no, just open to think better as well. Okay, ask it for key contacts. So I put, and also VPN users, I put all the emails that I had on the blueprints on the wiki. So please, if I forgot anyone, please let me know and I will add you here. I will make the CI people know that you need access as well. So maybe Manjari, yeah, I see that you may be missing. So please send me your details and I can add you here as well.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think it must be on, right? Okay, so yeah, I mean, we sent it yesterday. Frank sent it, so we need to
get an appointment to discuss with the University of New Hampshire folks.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, we're waiting for the answer on it, and then we'll have a meeting to discuss all the CI requests and let's see if we have resources as soon as possible. Okay. Any question on that? Okay. Okay, so next item in the agenda was, well, I'm still working on the CI. I was able to produce a job to deploy on Amazon, so we can deploy a basic blueprint on AWS. I'm using my credentials, but these are secret, so I use that to deploy a cluster and remove it after that. I can make it work on Jenkins Sandbox, but I'm hitting an issue with CI that seems that the Jenkins Job Builder version, like internal implementation detail, I mean, I need a newer version of a tooling to deploy on Jenkins. So I asked it to Eric for that, so I hope I can get that answer as soon as possible. Because the job is not working now because of that. But yeah, I mean, I tested and it can work. So I hope that maybe this week or early next week we can have it merged. So it will be like the first deploy, because before that we had chain testing on the builder and testing on Go syntax. But this job is going to be a real deploy as well. So you can use it as a sample for your internal testing. Hope that this is published as soon as possible. I put the link here of the Gerrit change. If you want to take a look or give a review, feel free to do it. Okay. Next point, I actually see that Miko is not there. Maybe I can talk with him in private about that. He asked for feedback about this special resource operator because he was interested on deploying Kubernetes with NVIDIA GPUs. So he saw this operator and he wanted to get more feedback on it. And yeah, I mean, I got engaged with several members of Kubernetes and our OpenShift team, and yeah, it's going to be supported. And yeah, well, I have some explanation to give to him. But yeah, I mean, if someone of you is interested in that, I can talk about it. If not, I can just provide the feedback to him. Yes, then I can go to the next step then. Okay.
Yolando, there are no GPUs in our in this validation lab, are there?
I put that like a special hardware for the workers if we need it, but yeah, maybe we forgot to add GPUs, right? We asked about accelerators, but
I don't think I don't think there is currently a GPU support in any of the hardware ports, which is a little bit annoying, but
yes.
And the reason was that there was like, I think there was the request at one point for a specific model, I mean, to point at a specific model that could be procured, or at least to get an estimate of the cost, and request that from the board. But I think nobody, as far as I remember, nobody stepped forward with a concrete model and only said, potentially. I mean, we would like to do some machine learning stuff on top, but.
Yeah, the thing is that it's very, very specific, no? From what also I could learn from talking about the resource operator, this is going to be like vendor-based, no? So every vendor will have their own implementation of it. So yeah, maybe we can talk a bit more about with Miko and see if he has like any specific idea.
That'd be good.
Because we may request something and then it may not be valid, or because it's going to be, I guess it's going to be NVIDIA, but not the specific model, I don't know about it. So yeah, I mean, I need to send him an email with the information I got. I will I will ask him about if he has any idea of a specific hardware for it. Let me note it as well. Okay. Then, okay. Frank, if you want to share the slide, I mean, the wiki page with the dates and milestones.
I'll do that, yes. Let me just quickly find it.
I have the link on the agenda.
Sorry.
Let me paste that one. Yeah, that's tricky to find. So I need to downgrade Fedora to share on Zoom.
No worries.
You can find it? I pasted on the chat.
I've got it.
Okay. Yes. Just
and share the right window.
Indeed. Okay. Where are we?
Good.
Yes. So in the previous meeting we had also a request from Tina. So we should fill like this milestones table. To show, I mean, to be part of the release. So what we needed to do is to fill the dates there, estimated dates with the milestones. And apart from that, we need to create like a template slide to be prepared for release and to defend it. So, I mean, there are going to be several dates on May where we could show the progress in our blueprint, like share the testing results or the documentation that we have, the code. So we should defend that in front of the TSC and see if we are able to be on the first release. Okay, so I put some dates there. I trying to more or less show the dates when we started this blueprint and the estimates that we are thinking that we are going to have the CI finish and the documentation as well. So, I mean, I put some estimates, like we started mostly on February. I just reflected that. We also have some testing already done. I mean, like some months ago, we started to interact with Jenkins CI. We had like some small testing about the Go validation and templates, but well, now I'm working on the proper deploy. So that's pending on review, so I hope that it's merged way before 13th of May. Way before 30th of May, sorry. So I hope that next week we can have something already merged into the CI. It's going to be a basic blueprint without all this environmental, I mean, just based on Amazon, because that's the resource that we have now. We cannot deploy anything else on the CI. So on what we have, like the...
You mean on the Ekraino CI, right?
Yes. Yeah, on the Ekraino CI. Yeah. I mean, internally we have Parametal and we have Libvirt, but on Ekraino CI we cannot show anything else than Amazon because Amazon is just consuming external resources. I only need to have a VM on Ekraino CI to deploy everything. So we choose that. And spending on review, and yeah, I mean, as I explained before, I hope that it's merged soon. So we should be ready for 30th of May. And also, yeah, I mean, there is going to be an extended, I mean, after the first CI is going to be a project reporting and that. So, I mean, we estimate that we are going to be ready for 30th of June. I put these dates and, well, I suppose that it's going to be fine. So as soon as we have something working on the CI and we have the documentation ready, we will request a slot to defend the project to the DSC. Hope that it's going to be done before like the 2nd or 3rd week of May, because after that we are going to be also out in KubeCon and there are going to be some other events. So we're trying to make it done, be done as soon as possible. Okay. So mostly wanted to inform and show about that. So I think that's more or less. Yeah. Do you see the, Fran, do you have the format of the template that we need to fill? Or it's very difficult to find, right? There is a feature, maybe it's feature project reporting, maybe? Is there?
No, that's the, no? We are not a feature project. That's
I don't know where the link was. Yeah. Well, there is a template that we need to fill. We also need to give like some logs on how the CI is working, how it reports.
Yeah, that was for the release. Wait.
Okay. Release planning?
Yes.
This one. Okay.
Yeah. So basically,
We need to fill this table as well. We need to say that we are going to participate.
No? Yeah. So basically, the whole a Crano project is like a little bit blocked on this progress of the validation lab. This is where, why general like progress is not where it's was supposed to be. And this is why also the goals for the release one were kind of scaled down. So now the goal is basically to do a deployment, a basic deployment of the blueprint without like a lot of sophisticated validation, right? Because the validation stuff is also not ready yet. Which, like, considering that we have a month left, is it's tight, but I think still doable. Minus, of course, the problems with people being out for KubeCon or similar, but basically, what we need to deliver to be part of a release one is this where is it? Yeah, is at least to get to this MBI4 kind of milestone, as they call it. Which is basically to deploy in some validation lab. That can be the community validation lab of University of New Hampshire, or it can be any other validation lab. So we could, for example, use the Red Hat internal hardware, or maybe, you know, if Intel wants to reproduce it, we can have basically, we could have multiple validations of that, and thereby ticking the boxes of the release one without having the community lab ready. But the problem is it's difficult to collaborate, obviously, if you don't have a shared lab infrastructure. So that makes it a little bit suboptimal. So then the idea is that each of the blueprints would fill in this, again, more of these forms. And then during one of the TC calls on Tuesday or Thursdays, starting next week Thursday, basically present their current status and make the case for, you know, we are ready to be included in the release one. So that means that basically, the first deployment that we need to do there would have to happen even before the 30th. So the week of the last week of May, if you want. Another thing is we also need to schedule a call with the documentation subcommittee, so that they can review the documentation that we have on the wiki already, thanks to Yolanda, at least for the against cluster deployment. We still need to talk about the workloads.
Yeah, I mean, I have I have some documentation, but mostly on, yeah, it's on Gerrit project. We should maybe move also to the wiki.
Yes, we should do this, and then also get feedback, basically reach out to the documentation subcommittee to also clarify what are their expectations.
Yeah, we should have documentation on how to deploy with Libvirt and with AWS clusters. But yeah, I'll move it. I'll copy what we have in Gerrit to the wiki so it's more visible.
Yep.
Okay. So that's mostly, yeah, has been quite a busy week for Acreno. Okay, so yeah, I think that's all. Okay, also, I mean, before, like today, I sent an email to all of you telling that we are going to be using, start using the Linux Foundation Edge Stack, Slack. So we are going to stop using the one I created for in CNCF and use what Linux Foundation offered us. It's going to be the channel. I think it's called Blueprint Channel or something similar. I sent that on the email. So it's a shared channel for all the blueprints, but I honestly don't see so much activity there. So I think we are safe to talk if we want about our KNI there. And if we start seeing that there is much activity and the conversation for blueprints is just messed, we can also just create a private one. But I mean, for the moment, I think that this channel is pretty clear and not much activity, so we're free to use it. So maybe next week I will close the channel on CNCF and let's move to Linux Foundation.
Makes sense, sir.
Okay. So that's mostly what I had on the agenda. If any one of you has any other topics, please talk on. We can add it to the agenda and talk about it.
I think this is great. I will send you an email and if I can get added to the VPN.
Okay. Absolutely.
Do you have any idea what YPRO could contribute?
That's what I think I'm trying to figure out, like what are the areas that there is a gap where we can bring some expertise and also contribute.
That'd be great.
So I think first I have to see what the status we are in. Because, you know, YPRO has quite a breadth. Probably not the depth as Red Hat, but a breadth into multiple verticals and use cases too.
Yeah. So especially if you can input some of the requirements, right? So of course we started the discussion around the industrial edge blueprint and the difference. So there's of course like the idea was really to make it not exclusive to telcos because we have. So this is right. We're talking to a lot of customers who are not from telco and who don't care about the, say, the telco access edge or core edge even, but who just run their stuff on prem. Mm-hmm. And the idea was, can we show something of value to them as well?
But you do kind of see some customer, of course, Wi-Fi, but private LTE or those kind of deployments. Because you can't lay the wires, the telco coverage doesn't even exist in those remote areas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it would be super if you could come back and with some ideas of areas mm-hmm. where you think it makes sense for you to contribute.
Yes. Yeah.
Please. Okay, so thanks for that, yeah.
Hey Ned, what's going on at your end?
That's where that. I see Ned on the Yeah, he's connected.
But I only see the camera for some reason. I don't see the microphone. Symbol.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe he's on. I see one participant is on the phone. But
okay, that could be. Yeah.
Maybe could be.
So now he's trying to unmute.
No, no sound anyway. Okay, so if no more feedback, I will close the meeting here, and well, I will push the recording as soon as I have it, and let's meet next week as well.
Right. Thanks, Yolanda.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for attending.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye.